You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joshua Live. I'm Gary Temple Bodley. Today's episode is all about creations based in fear. When we think something's wrong and we're perceiving something in a fearful way, we receive urges to change the conditions, and actually what we're doing here is creating more fear. We're bringing more fear into our realities. And Joshua talks all about this and talking about why that is and the purpose for it, and that it's also expansive as well, but that you can shift from generally creating in fear to generally creating in love. The more you create in love, the less you'll create in fear, the more clarity you'll get, and then you'll see what the fear is. So it's a very cool system here that Joshua explains perfectly. We have a couple things going on. We have a retreat in Orlando at the end of February. We have 2 spaces left. If anyone wants to join that, send an email to tracydeloise@gmail.com. We are also putting together the last boot camp. It's boot camp 14. This will start in March. If you wanted to talk about joining that boot camp, there's only one way to do it. Anywho, send me an email to garybodley@gmail.com, and then we'll schedule a Zoom call and I'll tell you all about it. And that way you'll know exactly if it's right for you and if you're ready for it and that sort of thing. Please remember to like and subscribe and share this podcast and leave reviews. Leaving reviews is the best thing you can do. The more reviews we have, the higher this podcast ranks and the more people are able to find it. So I appreciate you if you could do that. All right, get set and enjoy this show. We are thrilled to be here.
Hello, Joshua.
Hey, Joshua.
In your exploration of physical reality, on your journey to discover who you truly are, to realize that you are the source of your reality, that you're actually the only one who's feeling anything. As far as you know, you feel what you feel. You have no idea what anyone else is feeling. You don't even really know if anyone else exists because all they are experiences in your reality. And as you're going along this journey, you're going to go through obstacles or manifestation events or little bumps along your road. And these bumps are always showing you where your resistance is, because obviously if the road was smooth, then you'd have no resistance. If it's bumpy, you have a little resistance. And if it is tumultuous, you have a lot of resistance. If there's rage, you have a lot of resistance. If your life comes crashing down around you, well, that's a momentum of fear and resistance. And you're operating in fear as you exist in the physical reality. This is how you've been programmed. You've been programmed to believe in the fear, to believe in whatever causes fear, as if it's a real thing. But in reality, the source of that fear is actually not imposing anything upon you. There is nothing possible that can happen to you. There is nothing real in what you're exploring as what you think of as fear. It's an illusion, and you're deep in that illusion. As you push past the illusion, do what you're inspired to do, have new experiences, raise your vibration, think about alignment, think about the connection to source consciousness, think about how you operate in tandem with that creative energy that is source, creating within the physical realm through you and your inspiration, your body, what you want to create, your desires and all these things come manifest through you. You are acting as a conduit for the creator or as the creator. Now, it's not generally you creating. It is some force that's flowing through you. And either that force is love or that force is some kind of fear. You can create in fear, and certainly you do. And you can create in love, and certainly you do. And if you can move to more love, well, you would just create more love. You would create what is more satisfying, enriching, rewarding, enticing, enthralling, and exhilarating in love and joy. In fear, you also create. You create based in lack, limitation, unworthiness. It's still creation, and the creation is valid and useful to show you that you're creating in fear. That's what the creation in fear is. It's pointing out the fact that you're never going to get satisfied. You're never going to feel good. You're never going to have it easy. You're never going to protect yourself. You're never going to get what you think you want by acting in fear. But it doesn't matter if you do act in fear, because it is an expansive experience if you're aware of it. Well, it's expansive anyway, even if you're not aware of it. But how often are you doing the same things over and over and over again, trying to manipulate the conditions to get what you want and not feeling the satisfaction of it? And so you double down and you effort and struggle even harder and you get what you think you wanted and you're not feeling satisfaction. Eventually, you're going to have to give this up. Maybe this life, maybe the next life, maybe the life after that. Whatever it is, you're going to have to get up, give up that attachment to your limitations. Because in the attachment to limitations, you do something within the realm of that limitation to prove the limitation is not true. And yet, by proving it's not true, you're efforting and struggling your way to a new condition that actually proves it's true. That actually proves it's true. It does not matter if you make a lot of money. It does not matter if you receive accolades or awards or people love you or you get validation from the outside or people are telling you you're worthy, because you will never get the satisfaction out of that. Because inherently, in asking for validation from outside of you, when it comes to you, because you do not feel worthy of self-validation because you're seeking it from outside of you, no matter how it looks, it's never going to make you feel anything. You could receive a prize. And if you were efforting and struggling your way to this prize or this trophy or whatever it is, and you got it, but you didn't believe you were worthy of it, it would not make you feel worthy. Doesn't that make sense? In fact, the whole purpose of that journey to manifest the thing you think you want that's based in lack, getting the manifestation of it and the feeling of emptiness from it, is an expansive experiencing, allowing you to know that as you're moving along, trying to fulfill what's vacant inside of you, you can't fill it because it's never vacant. It makes sense when you understand that you are whole and complete and perfect and worthy, and any attempt to get validation of this worthiness without believing it or knowing it will give you the feeling opposite to what you want, the opposite of it. If you're approaching life as a victim in fear, and you're seeking validation from others or from some manifestation of a desire, if you were to actually feel validation in the receiving of that thing, well, then it wouldn't make any sense because it would be in opposition to how the universe works. If you could effort in your struggle your way to an improved experience of life and feeling better, if that worked, everyone would do it and your society would be working on all cylinders. As you know, everyone's living in fear. They're trying to manifest that which they think will bring them joy. They don't feel the satisfaction of that. They feel more fear, but they're ignoring the lesson in that. And the lesson is this: you must start from within. You must accept the basic premise of your worthiness, your completeness, and your oneness with all that is. You must start to accept that you are the source creator of your reality. You must accept that you're perfect and whole and good and worthy and all these things that are always absolutely true. And then create from that. Create from that whatever you're inspired to do, pushing past fear, to bring something new from the non-physical into the physical realm and get the satisfaction of that. Oh, sure, there's fear. There's fear. You push past the fear and you do this thing and you get satisfaction. And it feels amazing if it's aligned with your discovery or exploration of who you are. And you realize, look at this. I had an inspired idea. I pushed past fear. I faced obstacles and manifestation events, but I held on to a higher perspective of love, knowing that it would always turn out well. And voila, it was amazing. It turned out beautifully. Gary and Tracy and Isabel went for a trip to the store. As they came out of the store, it started to rain. It wasn't raining quite yet. They got into the car. No raindrops had hit. But then buckets came down and it was pouring rain. And they said, what if we could manifest no rain by the time we got home? And they're not really believing it. They're having fun with this idea. They're thinking, oh, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't it be cool? But how could it stop raining? It's pouring rain everywhere as far as you can see. They're driving 5 minutes away. As they approach the house, boom, stops raining. Zero rain when they arrived. Oh, what a fun coincidence that was. We thought we could stop the rain. The rain stopped, and it just happened to stop. They created this new reality for the joy and excitement and the expansion that they received, knowing that they could, if they could create this, they could create anything. And yet the ego wants to say, oh, it was just a coincidence. It was just luck. It just happened to be. And so they thought that they would manifest a football game, and they manifested the win of the football game. And then they thought, oh, well, the quarterback is great. The team is great. The circumstances were great. Of course, that team that no one thought should have won, won. And of course, the team won. They didn't really see how they manifested this new outcome in their reality. But in fact, everything that is manifested in your reality is created by you. Everything. Now, you can point to, well, this has been in efforts for a long time. This group has been working on this for a long time. This just happened to come about. It had nothing to do with me. And we want you to know that everything is your creation. Every little thing in your reality is your creation. So let's take responsibility for all of it. Take responsibility for the manifestation events that point out your limiting beliefs and the wobble in your vibration, and take responsibility for all the magnificence that you created, because you are a creator and you create in love feelings that resonate with love, joy, abundance, freedom, excitement, curiosity, and everything else that relates with love. And you're a creator in fear, and you create dissatisfaction, anger, depression, disappointment, and everything else created in fear. If you choose now to see yourself as this creator, you can link up more effectively with all aspects of love. And in that, you receive manifestations that will resonate with the love that's inherent in this creation that you have brought forth from source, from non-physical to physical reality. In love, without the attachment to the outcome or what it means about you, you will move into dimensions where the love is manifested, because you've become in vibrational vicinity with that vibration of love, and it's made manifest. And in fear, the same thing happens. So if you're conscious about where you're connected, in alignment and love, or in fear and control, manifest just a little bit more in love, and you will see the trajectory of your life radically change for the better. Give up needing to act on urges based in fear, and you will not create in fear, and your life will improve radically towards more love. You are here as the creator of your universe, your reality, the only one feeling anything in your reality, the only one perceiving anything in your reality. This is your universe. You are here to bring love into it, and not to allow all the little things you think are wrong to cause you to feel fear. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who would like to start?
I would.
Excellent.
So I recently had a call with a friend, hadn't spoken to her in a while, so we're catching up. And suddenly this barrage of negativity and limitation and fear and all of this came flying at me. And it felt like I was watching a car crash in a movie. And I didn't want to change anything. I just let her do her thing. And when we hung up, I just felt relieved that she wasn't, you know, in my living room. And I've just been struggling to understand what it meant, because I didn't feel like it had anything to do with me. It was her thing, but it felt like a manifestation event, and I can't seem to get to the crux of it.
Just for fun, how long has it been since you've hung out with her, or she was more in your life? When were you interacting with her more often than you are now?
Probably about a year ago.
What's happened in the last year?
I joined the boot camp.
And as a result of your interaction and experiences in the boot camp, what's happened to your vibration?
It's elevated.
And as you elevate your vibration, what do you receive?
guidance.
And well, you've always received guidance, but now you're more aware of the guidance you're receiving, and you're more aware of the surroundings. You're more aware of what's going on in physical reality. You've gained clarity.
Yes.
A year ago, you had the same conversation with the person, and you do not notice all the fear.
Correct.
Because your vibration is at equilibrium with them or in the same vicinity of them. You now have acted on experiences, raised your vibration, received clarity. Now when you interact, you notice what was always there, but you didn't see because you were more in the illusion back then and less in the illusion now. She is your control. Control in the form of a scientific experiment. Correct. A controls part of it. And she hasn't changed as much as you changed. Of course, her vibration is raised as well. But if the difference between where you've gone to where she's gone, there is a significant margin of difference there. And from your expanded level of vibration, of love, of releasing what you thought was bad and wrong, of understanding who you truly are, of accepting your perfection, the perfection of everyone else, as you've expanded to this level of everything's right, and she remains in most of it is wrong, the gap between you is the gap in your vibration. Now, not that there is a gap in your vibration in that she's no longer a vibrational match to you, because she is. She came forth into this conversation to display the difference between who you were a year ago and who you are now. And you could see it before you couldn't see it. Now, is this clarity beneficial?
Yeah, I did feel like she was showing me that I had made some strides. So I think in that sense, it seemed beneficial.
Are you happy to be able to easily identify the fear in the lives of others?
Yes.
Or would you like to go back and just not be aware of the fear that they're feeling?
No, I'd rather be aware.
Now, you notice that it does cause some dissonance within you. And Gary has this example of this weekend as well, is that he would like to bring the other people up because he doesn't feel comfortable seeing them so much in fear. And from his new level of clarity, it's simply a matter of processing your limiting beliefs and looking at yourself from a higher perspective and not maintaining the rigid structure of those beliefs or the attachment to those beliefs to be able to identify yourself and to keep yourself safe. From where he is now, he can see that the limiting beliefs are structures people use to feel safe, but they are illusions. They're not true. Now he sees it, but there's some discord there because he is at a level of peace and love where they're at still that level of fear and control. And he's had, on this journey in Florida, he's had interactions with all these people who he used to know that are living in this fear. So from his new perspective, he sees the illusion that they cannot see and there's nothing he can do about it. He is powerless to change them. And so he must accept them because this is what this is all about. It's all about love and acceptance. You cannot move easily and effortlessly on your journey of self-discovery if you have to hold on to all those people and bring them with you because you have no control over their reality.
Yeah.
But to be aware of the dissonance between the two vibrations is another level of clarity that could help you if you release your attachment. And we're not saying that this is of you, but this is of any of you who is listening to this. If you release your attachment to your need for them to be up to speed with you, actually, from their perspective, you're going to look a little strange. Why aren't you complaining? Why aren't you agreeing? Why aren't you giving in? Why aren't you more fun to be with? Why can't you gossip like we used to? Why can't you be miserable with us? Why can't you just be miserable? Why do you have to be the example of joy and love and peace? Why do you have to make it harder for us? Why do you have to demonstrate the difference between how I'm living my life to come out? Because you have to. because you have to be an example of alignment. That's what you came here to do. That's who you are. And that example, from a limited perspective, if you're unaware of the power of that example, may even seem cruel. How can you say, I don't care anymore? How can you say, I don't see anything that's wrong or bad? How can you say, I look at this from a higher perspective? That's nonsense that they will say. And then you part, and then they get a chance to think about it. How is my life going? How am I feeling? Oh, how's Kara feeling? Kara seemed to be in a good mood and optimistic and upbeat and talking about high vibrational stuff and enjoying life and not worried about with all the craziness that's going on in the world. How come this is not affecting her? Why is it affecting me? What does she know? Now, they may not ask you. They may never talk to you again. But they may go to a bookstore and they may pick up a book that they're inspired to pick up because they've seen the difference between you and them in a course of a year. If it's possible for you, it must be possible for them. Of course, they're going to hold under limitations. They're going to be mired in the illusion. They're going to be on the lower rungs of that ladder. But you are the spark that might enable them to change their entire approach to life at some point. And this is what you offer the world.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
And didn't you know we were going to say that the whole time you were thinking about this question?
Well, I was hoping I was on the right track.
And of course you are.
Thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Tom.
Joshua, sorry. I've got my little daughter. It's like 7 months old. She's having really difficult time, like, getting to sleep, and is just like screaming, and we're having like however long it might be, like half an hour to an hour of like screaming, and it's just very difficult mental situation to be in. I'm like struggling to find what to tell myself to get myself through those bits.
She's going through her experience exactly as she intended. Yeah. She's adjusting to physical reality, which is a lot different than non-physical reality. In non-physical reality, there's nothing physical. There's nothing causing her to be tired. There's nothing causing her to be hungry. There's not causing her to be thirsty. All these forces are at play in physical reality, plus the forces of ascension. She, as with all of those being born into this time, come in at a much higher vibration. And Earth is a mix of vibrations. You can possibly explore Earth at very, very low vibrations or very, very high vibrations, but there is an adjustment period there. And also within those who are coming in now are these strong pre-birth desires that you will notice as she gets older, her normal little girl desires, preteen desires, teenage desires will be radically different than what you wanted when you were that age. They are coming with highly intense pre-birth desires to be who they truly are. And they do not want to be constrained by any institution, any structure, any way we used to do it in the old days. Oh, a seven-month-old should go to bed at this time? Nope, we're not going to bed then. Oh, a seven-month-old should eat this? Nope, we're not eating that. Oh, a seven-month-year-old should learn this, or a one-year-old should learn this, or a 10-year-old should learn this by this time? Nope, we're not doing it that way. We're doing it our own way. You can try and comfort us. You can try and console us. We're doing it our own way. And because we're highly emotional, we're going to scream. We're going to cry. We're going to get angry. We're going to yell. We're going to notice when our vibration is not in alignment, because our primary intention in coming into this physical reality at this time in history is to maintain that alignment. We are not going to be subjected to the fears of the old. We are going to chart a new course, and that new course is going to be based in love. That's their primary intention. Everything is available to them as they arrive, as they grow, as they mature, and as they learn to adapt to a world that is currently based primarily in fear, they are going to be shining beacons of love who will not adapt to the old way. They will not assimilate. They will not be blended into society. They are going to chart radically new courses of ascension to not only discover who they truly are as quickly as possible at younger and younger and younger ages, but then to assist all others to awaken as well. You didn't happen to have this baby by accident. This baby chose you, chose every aspect of its childhood. You have to be aware of who you are and why this baby is in your life. You must acknowledge that you are pre-paving an environment of love, showing them a new approach to life that has not been available to other children up to this point, and that you are here to support their ascension as well as your own. You came in partnership in this. It may seem like you've been here a few years longer and you know more, but that being who came in to be with you is actually a more vibrationally aligned to this radically changing vibration of Earth at this time. And so hold on, because it's going to be a fun ride. The more you resist it, the more difficult it's going to be for you. Not going to make a difference in the child's life. But if you can see the God source energetic being of love that this is, and just let them have their tantrums, you'll make it easier for both of you.
Yeah. I'll try and hold on to that while it's happening. Yeah.
Would you prefer to, instead of having this indigo child of pure love who will challenge you at every step of the way, because we'll always be challenging the norms of society and the norms of any structure that you yourself have challenged, but not to the extent that this child will challenge? Or would you prefer to have a normal, sleepy baby that doesn't feel its emotions as intensely and is just going with the flow, with no really strong pre-birth intentions to explore physical reality and discover who they are? We promise you, the baby you have is the baby that you truly want, and this baby will delight you when you give up any need to control any aspect of it whatsoever. And when you give up needing it to feel better, because you will not be able to help it feel better. You cannot create in this baby's reality. This baby is a strong force of will and will feel negative emotion intensely and will be screaming for most of its life until it realizes who it is. So if you fight with this baby's desires, which are going to be intense, and this baby's emotions that are going to be very strong, you're going to have a rough time of it. If you see this child for who it truly is, source personified in a physical being with intense pre-birth intentions to discover itself and to aid in the discovery of all humanity as a powerful being of love, just get out of its way and everything will work out. Be thrilled for this one. Be thrilled that it's screaming, thrilled that it's crying, thrilled that it's spitting up, thrilled that it wants to explore on its own, thrilled that it doesn't listen to a thing you say, thrilled that it's asking questions over and over and over again, thrilled that it's not getting along with the old vibration of fear and not getting along with those people who want to contain her. Be thrilled with all of it, because you made this agreement. You knew very well what you were getting into, and none of this is by accident.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent.
I have a question.
Yes.
Joshua. So I kind of thought that maybe I knew the answer, but I still don't know the answer, so I'm going to ask. I have a potential phone interview for a job at a healing center, and the same lady was interested in buying my dog walking company. So we had a great conversation about a week ago about, and she said, I'll get back to you after the 3rd of February, because that was when my husband was coming home. So I kind of got scared and insecure and worried that she wasn't interested in me and I'm not good enough and all that. And I processed some limiting beliefs, but I'm wondering, I sent her an email to ask when she's interested, but I think that was like my safe way of doing it instead of calling her instead. And I'm wondering, should I call her or am I trying to control the situation by calling her?
There's two ways to look at it. You can look at it that you are, and this is without needing to know. So you have a situation come up. She was supposed to call you at a certain time. She doesn't call you. And in fear, you could receive an urge to send her a reminder. You could notice that it's coming in fear. You could say, I really want to know. I should know by now. She made a promise. I thought for sure I was going to know by now. I don't like the uneasy feeling of not knowing what's happening. And then you receive the urge, I should call her or I should email her. And you can know that that's based in fear. And if you act on that, nothing bad's going to happen. No wrong with it. But you're just going to explore more lack, more limitation, more victimhood, more of what you've already explored enough of. Now, you could say, all right, here is this desire to connect with this woman based in love. And you could say, yes, it is based in love because we've created a connection. Maybe she's feeling a bit of fear. Maybe she's not really ready to talk to me now. Maybe there's something going with her. I should reach out. Then you start negotiating with yourself because the ego is going to want you to say, well, no, you shouldn't reach out. No, you just let her call you. No, it's don't worry about it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. All these things, right? All based in fear from the ego keeping you limited. And you say, no, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to connect with her. And then you start bargaining. Well, I really should call her, but what if she gets on the phone and she is upset that I'm bothering her? And what if she reminds me that I told you I'd call you after the third? Why are you calling me now? What if you get rejected? And you say, if it's a phone call and I get rejected in person, it's going to feel worse than if I send an email. If I just send an email, well, then she can just not read it or send back, yes, we're going to do it or whatever it is. You're negotiating your way down from the initial inspiration, which will always be to connect in the most physical form possible. Now, you really have to understand the difference between connecting in fear and connecting in love. Stalkers connect in fear. Stalkers need to be around the person they're stalking. They just have this urge that they cannot stop. And that is an annoying action because it's based in fear. From the higher perspective of love, how would you like to connect with people? Think of it in terms that resonate with you. Would you, if you are connecting in love with another being of love, what would be your preferred connection? Would it be a lunch? Would it be a meeting at their office in physical? Would it be a Zoom call? Would it be a phone call? Would it be an email? Would it be a text? You can see the connection goes less and less and less and less and less, less personal, less in person, less physical, all the way down till it's nothing. And there's no high vibration down at the lower levels there. So always think about the higher vibration of connection and then let your inner self give you a little bit of inspiration. Realize the ego will always, always, always say, no, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. That's just fear. Push past that ego to do the highest vibrational thing you can think of, and it will always work out in your benefit. Now, of course, you don't know what's your highest good. You might think your highest good is to sell your business and get this new job, but your inner self knows your highest good. And so if it turns out she doesn't want to buy the business and you don't get the job, that's your highest good. You'll be aware of that 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, or you can, as it's happening, think about it from a higher perspective and gain the insight that your inner self is always giving you.
Okay. Yeah. Because I can always see it in retrospect. Like once I didn't get this job a couple of years ago in Kelowna here, because I had to move back and get my daughter to come back here and it wasn't meant to be, but I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
So I agree. So yeah, I'm just going to leave it and do some meditation on it. And then if I get that inspiration to call, but not the fear to call, then I'll call her. And it would be calling to go for lunch. That's exactly what I want to do.
Excellent.
And if it doesn't work out, it's not meant to be, and I'm meant to be doing something else.
But remember, when you say, if it doesn't work out, a lot of times what you're doing is trying to alleviate the feeling of succumbing to fear.
Okay.
If you succumb to fear, you may say, if it doesn't work out, it was not meant to be. That is a way to alleviate the negative feeling of succumbing to fear. Pushing past fear, allowing whatever is to happen, and then looking at it from the higher perspective, just as you would look back on it 2 years from now. Pretending that you were 2 years in advance, you look back on it, and you use your imagination to imagine a better possible outcome. This will always, always, always allow you to maintain your alignment.
Hi, Joshua.
Hello.
My greatest teachers are always my grandsons, of course. And after listening to what you had said about the baby crying, my six-year-old grandson is different. He likes to do what he likes to do, and usually it's something that goes against whatever we're doing. And we're pretty good. We've let him pretty much have the reins, mostly, of everything, especially after listening to you. What happens sometimes is he has a lot of parents in his life, more so than anything else. And when he decides to do something that's insane, like as we see it, like wearing a size 12 shoe when he's only 6 years old, and he throws on his uncle's shoes and tries to go out the door with them, we choose to stop it, and he'll fight us on it to a certain point. But what'll happen sometimes is that the younger generation, like his mother, his aunt, will kind of jump on the older generation, being myself and my sister. So it's kind of like it becomes a little bit of a war, which we end up dropping. But it's still one of those things where it's like, how do you kind of like find peace in all of that? You know, it's generational kind of thing going on.
Imagine that you all exist together in the non-physical. In a non-physical, there's no age difference. You're all absolutely equal. You all know each other so perfectly that there's nothing to discover. You have nothing to talk about because you all know everything. You have nothing really to do because you've done it all. You can't really have experiences in the non-physical in the same way you can in the physical, because you know you're playing a game anyway. If you're playing a game, physical seems real. So you come forth into physical reality and you say, you come first, you adopt all these limiting beliefs, the world will change, then we're going to come, we're going to adopt new limiting beliefs based on the new world, and then the world will change some more, and then even higher vibrational levels will be born into by the next generation, and then we get to see how we play off each other. We get to see if we agree, if we disagree, if we limit each other, if we allow each other to be free, how far can we let it go? How much are we going to hold on to it? How much fear are we going to feel as a result of all this? How much freedom and joy and happiness will we have together as we explore physical reality in a brand new timeline together as in a way we've never been able to do before? It's like having the baby, having their parents, and you, big group of you, all going to Disneyland to spend the day together. Well, you will take the little child, the six-year-old, and you'll put him on the little rides, and you'll go on the little rides with the six-year-old because you want to see how the six-year-old is interacting with all the stuff that you already have experience with. And you get to see it again through the eyes of that six-year-old. Of course, the six-year-old is going to spark fear because you have limiting beliefs about the way things should be done. But what if you didn't need to hold on to how things should be done? What if the six-year-old comes in to show you that your limitations are all self-imposed and they're all ridiculous? From the six-year-old's point of view, why does it matter what size shoe I wear? If I can get around on the shoe, that's what's fun to do. And if it becomes an obstacle or if it becomes a burden for me, I'll go back to my regular shoe. Why do you need to have it be a certain way? Because you want to get things done. You want to get in the car quickly. You don't want to have to wait for this six-year-old to struggle in these size 12 shoes. You want things to happen a certain way. Control, 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 control. If you were your non-physical self watching the six-year-old, it would be nothing but joy, laughter, fun, excitement, exhilaration, hilarity ensuing at every level. Without the fear, without the control, there's nothing but joy. but you get to play with it. How much joy will you allow yourself? How much confidence will you allow yourself? How much freedom will you allow yourself? It's all about you. Because all of these people are simply aspects of you. How much love are you going to give to yourself in the form of that six-year-old, of your children, of the other adults in the area? Or how much are you going to withhold from them? How much are you going to make them do what you think they need to do? How much are you going to restrict their lives so that you can feel a little bit more secure? Or how much are you willing to be vulnerable? How much are you willing to give up? How much are you willing to let go of that persona? How much are you willing to have faith that things will work out? Let's say that you're alone with a six-year-old and the six-year-old just wants to run across a busy street. Would it be appropriate to control the six-year-old then? Because a rational fear of the child getting hit by a car or hurting itself makes perfect sense. And we totally agree with that. But when your fear or their fears is irrational, then all you're doing is limiting the child that came in here to be free. Not that any of this is a bad thing, because in the limiting of the child will gain for the benefit of limiting beliefs and new desires and all that stuff to form a trajectory. So we're not actually talking about the child in this case. We're talking about how much can you let go of control? How much can you allow the child's parents to be controlling, even more so than you at times? How much can you put up with what you might find annoying in everyone else's behavior? How much can you open up and inject love yourself in all of these relationships? How much can you give up the need to derive security or sense of worthiness or anything from the actions, behaviors, and opinions of others? Why do you need to see yourself as a matriarch when you could just be seen as that crazy old lady who gave birth to your mother? You are attached to a persona like everyone else is, and you get to play this game. How much am I going to buy into this persona? How much do I think this persona actually gets me the love that I desire and all that stuff? Or how much can I play with this? Could I be sillier? Could I be more generous? Could I be more gracious, more magnanimous? Could I let everyone else off the hook? Could I let myself off the hook? Could I see into the future and see a future of love and acceptance as we go along? And we often like to do this game where imagine yourself in 10 years. The child's now 16. The parents are now 10 years older. You're now 10 years older. And if you could get a vacation back to 2021 and spend it with all those people who exist now and operate with them in this is a once-in-a-life chance opportunity to spend time in a segment of time that has been forever lost. Do you see what we're saying? Imagine now if you could go back to when you were giving birth and that time and all of the fears and all of the thoughts of all the people around you, how you were looking at the future and having so much passion for what could be created in the future. And now you've created it all. Everything that you thought you might create, you've created much of that. And you've created a spectacular life with your own children and their grandchildren. And if you think about these moments in time that you could go back to or forward to, well, guess what? Now you can actually have a vacation with the family that's around you in this point in time right now and see it from the perspective of a 10-year-old version of you. Someone who is really appreciating that they actually get to be in a room with their 6-year-old that they had lost because the 6-year-old has turned to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and that 6-year-old is no longer there. Think of all the videos you'll watch of the six-year-old 10 years from now and the photos you have of the six-year-old 10 years from now. You're going to forget all the tantrums and all the problems and all the issues. And you'll look back and you'll say, oh, wouldn't it be nice to go back and just spend a day with that six-year-old boy? That's the only thing that matters in this life, is the time you spend with those in your life in the moment, understanding the joy of that moment, the fleeting qualities of that moment, that it will never be there again. And it can't be captured on film. It can't be captured on video. You have a unique perspective right now. They have a unique perspective. You're interacting right now. You'll all expand from these experiences to new levels, but those moments in time will be gone. And so why not play with it as if everything is perfect? You don't have to do anything, just for fun.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I have a question.
Yes.
I was curious to if it is normal, quote unquote, to when you're doing this boot camp and just kind of raising your vibration, meditating more, that you just prefer a little more quiet and ease. And I'm just finding like I don't even need to be going to big Super Bowl parties or hanging out with even the people that I used to hang out with as much. I'm just noticing that about myself.
There's two sides of that. The one side is that you're getting clarity to see that all of that stuff that you were doing was based at a lower vibration, is not necessary. It's not really appealing. There's nothing enchanting about it. It was just going through the motions of what people did. And then having those unconscious conversations about what's wrong and about silly little things that really don't matter, like what car you got, where you are going on vacation, where you're going to move to, what's your job like, what's the weather like, these things that don't really matter, but are consumed in mass in low vibrations because they are not generally triggering anyone's limiting belief. They are not high level conversations that can bring to the forefront people's greatest fears. As you do this work and you raise your vibration, you can see clearly that this is not something that's desirable any longer. And now you're seeking more introspection, more conversation with your inner self. Maybe you're waking up in the middle of the night and you're getting these nice little downloads. Maybe you're enjoying meditation at a different level than ever before because you're not necessarily having to fight all these thoughts that are coming in. You're just doing it for the enjoyment's sake, not for the outcome. But then when you get to this level, you'll also notice that all of that other stuff is irritating. It's annoying. It's why do you have to talk about that? It's exhausting to have to change the conversation over and over again. It's boring to you. Well, that's because in those environments, they're showing you the difference between who you are now and who you were before. They're showing you the mundane aspects of physical reality that were never true, that people just used as some sort of anchor to hold themselves and to feel safe, and that you're resisting speaking your truth, telling others about what you've learned. You don't want to be seen weird. You don't want to have people think that you're a new age hippie. You are receiving inspiration, but at this stage, it's a little muddled. And so we say, notice who comes around you and notice what they're talking about and let them talk about whatever they want to talk about without judgment, and then feel the inspiration that comes in and offer an idea, an uplifting idea. See their reaction. And notice that their reaction will always be a reflection of whatever wobble you have going on inside you. So if you think this is weird, they're going to think it's weird. If you think that who are you to offer this assistance, they're going to think who are you to offer this assistance. If you say, I'm just saying what I'm saying as I'm inspired to saying, because this is a spiritual connection. There's no accent there in my reality. I'm inspired to say it. I'm just going to say it without attachment to the outcome or how they perceive me in any of it. I will let all that go and just say it. You will be rewarded with some form of satisfaction. They will be interested. They will play with you. They'll dip their toes into it as much as they can. And they are coming to you because you are changing your vibration and they are being activated. Their inner self, their pre-birth intentions, the core of their vibration is to come to an understanding similar to where you're coming to. And the way they get to it is the magnetic of you and their magnetic field, because you're in their life, they're in your life, they're bumping into you. They're being drawn to you. And other people will be drawn to you too. Your siblings, nephews, cousin, best friend, who is driving through town, gets inspired to go on Facebook and see who lives in town they can spend the night with. And boom, you pop up and you get the call. And all these little things of people coming into your life, coming into your life for brief moments, because they have in their vibration a key to your lock. And they are looking to where to put this key. They find you, they get one more level. One more opening up, one more inspired idea, one more example of alignment. You, on the other hand, might be inspired to share a book, share a video, share a podcast, share a reading, share a letter, share whatever, share a quote, however you want to share it. And you hold yourselves back a lot of times because you're concerned about what other people think. As you push past that fear, your ego saying, don't share, don't say anything, don't get into the possibility of being rejected. Don't be abnormal, don't be weird, try to be normal, try to fit in. You have to say to the ego, that's not working anymore. I am not having a good time doing the same old stuff. I cannot go back there. I'm going to push past this fear and do what I'm inspired to do. Then you open up all these new connections with people, all these new inspired thoughts, much more clarity. And your soul's purpose becomes more obvious to you. That's what you truly want. And that's where you're headed.
Thank you.
Excellent. We have time for one quick, silly question. Please make this the silliest question you can think of. Who's got a silly question?
I have a very silly question that I'm so excited to ask. And I love it because we've talked so much about children today. So my silly question is, does Santa Claus exist? And the reason that I'm asking this is because when I think of children, and when I was a child, I celebrated Christmas, the pure belief and the true desire that comes around Santa Claus is just so pure and innocent. So I always thought there's something more to that.
Santa Claus exists as a construct of how desire is perceived in a limited way. You have a judge, Santa. Santa judges good boys, bad girls, good girls, bad boys. If you're on the nice list, you get a present. If you're on the naughty list, control, 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 control. Wait all year, be good all year, delay your gratification of your desires all year, and hopefully you'll get what you want. But of course, you never do. You never do. You never get what you truly want. And the things you get, you're done with them in 5 minutes, and you're playing with the box longer than you're playing with the toy. That's a construct to allow people to not relegate their desires to a higher authority, someone outside of them, or to a later date, and not get wrapped up in those desires anyway, because they will never fulfill you. As soon as you open the package, you'll be playing with the box rather than the toy. That's what Santa really is. That's the purpose of Santa. And it's a fantastic teaching tool for children to realize, oh, it was fake after all. In the end, it was never real. Just like everything else in physical reality, the entire physical reality is Santa Claus. Everything is Santa Claus. None of it's real. It's all illusion. You get to play with it. If it works for you, great. If you enjoy that sort of thing, if you're willing to dedicate a suffering for 11 months so that you can have joy for 1 month, awesome. Do that. But if you want to adopt a new approach to life where every single day is Christmas, where no one is judging you, where you are your own Santa Claus, and you can give yourself anything you want, be anything you want, do anything you want, then we suggest look at what the lesson of Santa Claus is and do the opposite. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you. Thank you, Joshua.
Thanks, everyone. Awesome. That was great.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay, I really enjoyed that episode. It's really fascinating and it's cool how all those questions come together and bring out more. If you'd like more information on Joshua, visit theteachingsofjoshua.com. Also, there are a whole bunch of books on Amazon. There's four different books. And if you just search Gary Temple Bodley on Amazon, you'll see them there. The first book is A Perception of Reality. And I think a great place to start in all of this is with that book. Another thing to do is to meditate. And Joshua has a whole bunch of meditations. They're available if you look for them on like Spotify and all those kind of places, Amazon Music, all of that. I use those meditations solely. There's 10 of them there. They're also on Insight Timer too. So if you'd like to go there, you can do that as well. And of course, the last boot camp is starting in March. If you'd like to find information about that, and I urge you to, because that really is might be the last chance you'll ever have to do this. So think about what your fear is and what you think, the thing that's stopping you from even talking about it, and push past that fear and send me an email to garybodley@gmail.com, and we'll set up a Zoom call. And it was really fun, and you get to meet me, and we'll talk about your life and my life and how the boot camp works and all the people who've gone through it and what they've experienced. And it might be the perfect thing for you at this time. This is the time of awakening. We're all getting to new energies and new desires. We're putting past all the things we think we lack. And we're moving forward to a better understanding of who we truly are. And this is what really brings joy to life and meaning to life. So thanks again for being here. And I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.